This evening, our scripture is found in Matthew chapter 5. We'll read the first 12 verses of the chapter. Our focus will be on the sixth verse, that verse dealing with those who are blessed, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So if you'd open your Bibles up to that text this evening, we can begin with the reading of God's Word. And if you give me a second, my throat's a little dry here, but we will endeavor to get everything upright. This is the reading, the holy Word of God, beginning at verse 1, Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacekeepers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. As we open up the text this evening, that farther reading of God's Word, we want to focus on that message which is presented here for our edification, those words especially which flow to us as a promise that Christ spoke out of the prophet Amos. Those words which are recorded in Amos 8, 11 through 13, they read this way, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of the hearing of the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. Here Christ has come during a period of time when that famine was present. A period of time when those who were teaching and proclaiming the word of God were doing so falsely, twisting it to their own ends. And Christ's word and his teaching were sent to impact, to encourage and to change the hearts and the minds of those who were his. He knew who they were, for as he appeared on the scene, as John appeared on the scene before him, they came, they hungered, they thirsted after righteousness. This was an evidence that occurred in them. It was provoked by the Spirit of God, and it caused them and drew them to God and to his Son, Christ Jesus. That important part of this particular section reflects upon the great goodness that God has demonstrated to you as his children. He spoke these words centuries before to those who were his children present then, as they had come upon the mountain, as they sat or stood or perhaps leaned against one another, as they listened to the words of encouragement which Christ proclaimed. Here we see that the idea of hungering and thirsting for righteousness are presented to you in the title of the message, which is very simply, Righteous Hunger and Thirst. These things are first produced by the Spirit of God. They are produced not by men, for those who would seemingly have been the ones that would have correctly and rightly followed the law of Moses would have been those who were the Sadducees, those who were the Pharisees, those who made up the Sanhedrin. Yet Christ has come to that period of time where that famine of the word is present, where those who were supposed to be the true keepers of the message of God and of the law of Moses, and the commands and the ordinances which explained the Ten Commandments, had twisted them in such a way that Christ no longer recognized them as the truth. And so here, beginning at this point in his ministry, and throughout the entirety of his ministry from this point forward, he corrects the incorrect teaching that these men have brought. And this he knows earnestly, that those that are his will come to him. He speaks of this not only as he proclaims this truth as a blessed gift to those that have come, but also understands that there are those who are coming, that there are those who will be drawn by the Spirit of God, who will come to him and to seek his Father earnestly. This is what is meant by produced by the Spirit. For Christ himself is speaking the truth, but without the Spirit of righteousness in their hearts, without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as you are blessed to have today, beloved, they are incapable of understanding these truths. In fact, there are many among who are following Christ, the disciples, those that would be disciples, those that are members of the various religious organizations, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes. They come and they question Christ repeatedly concerning the things that he has taught. Here, Christ, in a very succinct way, is repeating one word over and over again, "Blessed are." He is addressing those that are truly members of the kingdom, as you are, beloved. He wants you to know and to recognize that the hunger and the thirst that you have in your heart and in your mind to seek after God are to be recognized as a true and strong desire placed there and produced by the Spirit of holiness which dwells in you. Those who were sitting with him as they heard this message were hearing an alien message, for they did not know what it was to hunger and thirst after righteousness, except that they understood the words of the prophets that had told them there would be a time when they would be those who were among the famine for the Word of God. And here they had the Word of God with them. As we see, the world has the Word of God with them today. And yet the world rejects and turns away from the Word of God. And it is only those in whom the Spirit of God has come to dwell who hunger and thirst after true righteousness. When we look at these words, both hunger and thirst, we reflect upon many other passages in Scripture which were written and intended to encourage and interpret what Christ had taught in his ministry. Of course, we know that Paul the Apostle is one of the great authors of the New Testament. And we see this idea of a strong desire juxtaposed against the idea of strong desire for sin in the book of Romans. We see how sin was developed by his teaching as that great fall in Adam. And here Christ is speaking of something that would have been knowledgeable, or something that would be part of the knowledge that the children of Israel had. They understood the history of their people. They understood what sin was, for God had spoken the words to them that there were certain things that were sinful, and there were certain sacrifices which were necessary to be brought for the forgiveness of sin. All of these things together dealt with the idea of both righteousness and truth. But the idea of having a strong desire towards these things are something that we never see in the history of the children of Israel. It is not until Christ comes that we see true hunger and thirst for righteousness as a people, as a church. They begin from this point forward after the death and resurrection of Christ to take forward this message, this production of hope in their hearts, the introduction of truth and of righteousness and justice, and to go forth as those that are blessed to take this message, a message of true righteousness, to the people. This is something that cannot happen unless God himself has blessed it. That same strong desire that is produced by the Spirit is produced equally by the flesh. And Paul deals with that in Romans chapter 7. When he speaks of the idea of knowing what it is that we are to do and not doing it. Have you ever experienced that? You knew you weren't supposed to do something, but you did it anyways? Or perhaps you could relate to the idea of knowing that you're supposed to do something, and yet, in the weakness of your flesh, you find yourself not doing it. The fullness of the message that Christ is presenting is not limited to this one verse, verse 6 of chapter 5. There is a larger context, which is his life as a whole. It speaks to a demonstration of true, strong desire, of yielding to the Father, of being led by the Spirit. And here Christ is demonstrating that as he begins to take up the teaching and to correct what has been incorrectly taught now for hundreds of years. Paul does not only express for us the things that Christ is teaching here more fully, but he goes on to speak of the promises that come as a result of being faithful, being a righteous and blessed one in Christ Jesus. That righteousness pointing to the reflection of who and what Christ is, the perfection of God, which is found in God alone, which Christ came and demonstrated for us. He speaks in those passages in chapter 7 and chapters 8 of Romans of being at war with the evil that is in our flesh. Here, the idea that we can defeat that is being spoken by Christ. That idea that hunger and thirst is produced within us, but not for food or drink, but for righteousness. Righteousness here is a noun, as it is presented to us. It is a thing to be obtained, something that we can grasp a hold of, know and understand. This is part of the fullness of the gospel message that is presented to you, beloved. A promise that you are blessed when you are seeking after it, and an encouragement that the hunger and thirst that you have that moves you to share the Word of God with others, to encourage your neighbors when they are feeling low, to pray for one another when you see need, to give to those who have need. These are the things that you are blessed by according to the production of the Spirit inside of you, which moves you to this direction. And Paul speaks of this in chapter 8 of Romans when he says that we don't know how we're supposed to pray, but we're moved by the Spirit, and so we pray. Christ is speaking of that here, but he's speaking of it as a mystery, a small nut that is to grow and blossom into a great tree of faith that will produce many and great things in the hearts and the minds, not only of the apostles, but of those who will serve the church in smaller roles, such as Stephen. I want you to ask yourself this question. Can you make yourself hungry? Can you make yourself thirsty? Now, your first response might be, well, if I go out and play basketball or baseball, yeah, I get hungry and I get thirsty. Or if I run a few miles, I get hungry and I get thirsty. But is that really you producing hunger and thirst in your body? Or is that a result of something that you really don't fully comprehend in its action in your body that causes you to be hungry and thirsty? Here it is the blessedness of the gift of the Holy Spirit that produces that hunger and that thirst. In the same way that your body produces hunger and thirst for food and for sustenance, as your heart beats, as your lungs expand and collapse, as your kidneys process the blood in your body and your liver and your muscles, so the Spirit enlivens in you a true desire for hunger and thirst of what is good, what is true, and what is righteous. And ultimately, beloved, it is a deep and penetrating, saturating love of Jesus Christ that is the fulfillment of that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Paul also goes on to express many of the truths that are found in the Beatitudes, also in the similitudes, and in the interpretation that Christ gives for the law. Not only he, but Peter, James. All of these books and the epistles, they teach us concerning what is intended here, not only in the blessedness that is spoken of, but also specifically of the produced elements that are spoken of. Mourning, meekness, being a peacekeeper, being one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness means that each and every one of these other elements is produced in you at some point, in some measure, on one day in your life or another. Those who have been Christians for many years can relate to this quite easily. Those that have served in the ministry for many years have seen this not only in the working amongst their flock, but also in their own lives as they encourage others, as they see the need to help keep peace, as they experience sorrow and mourning. The context is very broad. The blessedness that Christ speaks of is also second seen as being promised by Him, that Christ Himself has promised this blessedness. The element of hungering and thirsting after righteousness are only a byproduct of that blessed gift that you have received, beloved. That knowledge that you have attained to today because you have received from God Almighty the true faith that led you to come, to worship, and to receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. We see in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, Paul says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Here, that production of the Spirit that I spoke of a moment ago is seen clearly. He says, and goes on to say, "If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." He says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And you have only to go outside, beloved, to see that there are many in this world today that are not His. Those that are not blessed as you have been blessed. Those who need to hear the gospel message of truth that they might be blessed. That God might turn their hearts and produce in them through His Spirit repentance as He has granted to you. You see, the message that Christ brings is not a perfect keeping of the law. In fact, every time He is confronted with the questions concerning the law, He returns two responses. The first is that we are to love God with our whole hearts and our minds and all of our strength and all of our souls. This is the first and great commandment. But then equal to it is the idea of loving our neighbor. This is the one that consumes us, or should. Beloved, you should be concerned for your neighbors in such a way that you understand that not only does your love for them extend beyond merely praying that God would change their hearts, but also asking that God would use the hunger and the thirst within you that has been promised to you through Christ to bring into your life those whom you might be able to preach the gospel to, whom you might be able to share in mourning, whom you might see suffering in meekness, that you might be able to deliver them from their poverty, that they too might have the opportunity to hunger and thirst after righteousness. These are the things that are recorded for us here in these few words. But the promise goes on to say that they shall be filled. This idea of being filled is the idea of completion. That which is necessary for your completion as a child of God will be delivered to you, given to you. And that's a very important distinction. It's not something that you're going to earn by checking off a list. In fact, lists are great things. They help us to accomplish many things that we need to do. We make them when we go grocery shopping or if we have errands to run because we so easily get distracted. If I don't have a list and I go shopping for my wife, it's certain I'm going to forget something. But when it comes to serving God, the lists that we make need to be more than simply us checking off what we have accomplished. They need to be intimately tied to that hunger and that thirst, to the idea that we have that we are not our own, that we have been purchased with the price, that we belong to Christ Jesus. We are told in John chapter 7, when Christ speaks, He says, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and He cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" This is the promise of your Lord, beloved. that in your hunger and thirst for Him, for the fulfillment of righteousness in your life, you need only come to Him and you will be given such abundance that you will be able to share it with those apart from yourselves. Think for a moment of the woman at the well to whom Christ spoke to her utter astonishment. Not only was she a woman, she was a Samaritan woman. Not only was she a Samaritan woman, she was an adulteress according to the law. This is a woman by all standards held by the Sadducees and the Pharisees Christ never should have spoke to. Notice I said according to the standards of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. For Leviticus 19 instructed that the law which commanded the love of neighbors would have required that Christ, who was delivering the message of truth, deliver it not only to the Israelites, but to them first, and then to all those who were considered Gentiles. So that the compassion and the love that He expects us and you to demonstrate, He demonstrated Himself. The idea that we can come to Him because we are thirsting is a reflection of that idea of the hunger and thirst for righteousness. These are things which allow us to see the fullness which is spoken of here as being only accomplished in Christ Jesus. Now there's another sense in which historically this famine was broken at Pentecost, where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit according to the words of the prophet Joel occurred. But beloved, we live in that reality today. You know, when we think of prophesying, as we hear many in the evangelical church or what calls itself the Christian church today, they think of those that possibly speak in tongues or perhaps give some sort of prophetic utterance that might come true or might not. But when we who are true believers think of that, we hear the idea of prophesying as the proclaiming of God's holy and sacred word. This is why each of you is a prophet of the Lord. For when you proclaim the truth concerning who Christ is, you are not only fulfilling what Christ has said that you should in the Great Commission, but you are demonstrating that the hunger and the thirst which has been produced in you by the Spirit also has something more to offer. You are not simply consuming righteousness, you are acting in the righteousness of Christ. You are going forth to share the gospel. You are encouraging others as you have been encouraged. And yet you forget not that it is in Christ alone. So that the fullness of all that you not only receive, but also are able to share, is able to address not only your hunger and thirst for righteousness, but to help to quench that hunger and thirst as you see it displayed in others. As I have taught, I have learned that it is important to make this very clear. It is not only the responsibility of those who are your elders and your pastors to teach the truth of the message that Christ has shared, and very specifically, as He has shared it to you in your life, the message that you have received from Him. It's a personal message. I want to say that again. It's a personal message. That doesn't mean it's of some private interpretation, but it's your set of circumstances, your life, the sorrow that you've struggled through, the poverty you've experienced, the hunger and the thirst that drives you and motivates you. It may be different for each one of you. But yet in that very specific and personal relationship that you have with Christ, that personal hunger and thirst that you have, it is to be expressed out loud as you live to your neighbors, to your barbers, to your male people, to the people that you work with, to your fellow students, whoever you may have to do with in this life, that is your responsibility. It is not only the responsibility of those who you have elected as elders and deacons or pastors or interns. Beloved, we together as the children of God, each one of us is spoken to whenever Christ says, you. Whenever Paul says, you, whenever you are instructed that you should go forth and do. We are to take that as a personal charge. All too often when I meet people and they ask what I do for a living, the last 4 years when I tell them that I'm interning and I'm preaching, then they look at me and they go, oh, well, that's why you're always talking about God. You see, they don't have the privilege of meeting others who are truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Because if they did, then they would go, wow, this average woman who's a housewife and takes care of 5 kids and is capable of running a CEO position because of her experience, she's a Christian too, and she talks about God all the time. Or some other gentleman who runs a business or works for another businessman is able to share that gospel message with passion. You see, when Paul prayed for boldness, it was the boldness that he saw Christ demonstrate when he sat down on this mountain and he began to elucidate the truth concerning the law and say, blessed are you who demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. The final point we want to look at this evening is that fulfillment and glory. For while it's true that each of you has the ability to fulfill in your life in that very personal way the truth which is being spoken by Christ in these words, it is also true that in glory its complete fulfillment will come into your life in a way that you cannot and I cannot and no living person can truly understand or comprehend. The words in Scripture in the book of Revelation speak of streets of gold, no longer having pain nor sorrow. And I'm sorry, but I can't imagine that. I'd like to think that I can. What would it be like to not have pain anymore? Not be tired? Not need to sleep or not need to, you know, have to deal with the things that cause us to be run down and feel like we're defeated? To be in the presence of Almighty God, to receive those vestures of white robes, to be forever in His presence singing His praises, where the fulfillment of all righteousness will not only have been accomplished in the fullness of God's glory, but will be evidenced in each and every one of us. Those are pictures which Peter and John wrote for us to make us go, wow, that's what I have to look forward to. That's what I'm striving towards. Paul said it was like running a race, that we're running a race towards something that we will receive as a blessed gift. And all too often the sorrows and the pains and the sufferings can distract us from those things. John wrote it like this in Revelation chapter 7. He said, then one of the elders answered, saying unto me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And so he said to me, these are the ones that come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We are not inconsolable as creatures. We are given the opportunity to come to the Lord Christ Jesus. It is given to us freely. It was commanded from the very beginning of time that we should honor God and serve Him, demonstrate obedience. And once Adam failed to do that and we were plunged into the darkness of sin, it was not so dark that the promise of the Savior, Christ Jesus, was not present even in the condemnation of that sin. And when He walked on this earth and He spoke of being blessed, He spoke to those of us who live today, even as he spoke to those who were sitting on the mountain then. Beloved, you are to receive this message. Blessed are you who, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be fulfilled. There is the assurance of the promise that Christ Jesus himself will fulfill this in glory. It cannot be taken from you. It cannot be stripped away by sorrow, nor hunger, nor thirst in your body, not by sickness or death or cancer. No armed person can enter the room and steal it from you. No person threatening your life upon pains of death that you should deny him can strip it away. They can make no law that will take it from you. Beloved, it belongs to you. And if you will simply grasp it, embrace it, ask God to strengthen and greaten the hunger and the thirst that is in you, no matter how small, that it might become great, that you might be able to go forth and with boldness proclaim the truth, then today you find yourself among those who are blessed, and you have this sure promise. The righteousness that is promised here will be fulfilled in you and in your lives for the sake and by the name of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Mighty Heavenly Father, we see in these words great, great blessings. And how we long to know them even greater. We long that you would give us the boldness to recognize that sometimes the world, our busy hearts, our busy minds, distract us from the simple truth of the blessings that we have received as your children. And yet we are encouraged whenever we see one who is afflicted among us praising your name. And we are encouraged, Lord, that you too might give us the same ability. That though we may be struggling at work or at home or at school, Lord, that you are able to take that away. Help us to focus on the fulfillment of the blessings that are found in you, that we may confess those burdens that we have, not only to you, but as we serve you, as we receive clarity in that hunger and that thirst, that we might also bear one another's burdens. That we would see a depth in the word that is present in each individual jot and tittle. For we know that you have promised that it shall not pass away until all shall be fulfilled. And so let us meditate upon your word. May it take us forth into this week and encourage us that we would be lifted up on eagle's wings, that we would be given the strength that is necessary to face whatever challenge you shall bring, but also that we shall be given lips of praise, lips of prayer, hearts and minds that sing out to you of the blessedness that we know that we have received and that is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. May we together find this and glorify you with these hearts, these minds, these voices, that you would receive the honor and the glory that you are due. And may it be recognized in each one of us as the power of your Spirit drawing us, causing us to hunger and to thirst after the righteousness that is found only in your blessed Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. This we do ask. Amen.